and you worked for part-time that summer for a helicopter?
Yeah, it was Hiller Helicopter. I think they've either been bought up by Hughes or Bell or somebody like that. Mm-hmm. But Hiller Helicopters used to be very well known through the war and things like that, but I worked out in the plant on that. Mm-hmm. And then I quit that job, worked for a while. I mean, went to school for a while. Then the next time I got a job, I was a mathematician for NASA at Moffett Field. Mm-hmm. And here we were with planes again. So they were doing a lot of testing on certain planes, Mach 1 and Mach 2 and all that sort of thing. And I told Josh that I thought maybe I wouldn't go back to school, that I would just stay there and be a mathematician. And no, you don't. You're going to go back to finish school because you can make more money that way, and I can go to school full time. And so again, I went back to school, and I think that's the last job I had before I graduated. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, to switch back over to the family.
Yeah. Okay.
Things. Were there things you'd mentioned that you traveled together with as a family? Were there other things that you all did together as a group?
Oh, let's see. We didn't do any camping at that time. We'd go to parks. We'd take them into the city. We'd picnics. Oh, we first came to Southern California. Now, that's 1961. Mm-hmm. And we brought them down here. We took them to Disneyland and Knott's Berry Farm. Oh, we had a trip up north, too. And that's what be most of our activities would consist of, maybe trips, picnics, this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But they were always right along with us.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any expectations or hopes for your daughter as she was growing up?
Yeah. I kind of hoped that she would do something else besides maybe run off really young and get married, things like that. I always felt like that there were so many things that you could do in this world. I hope that she would realize it too. Mm-hmm. And become interested in something. Not that I didn't have anything against her getting, you know, about or thinking about getting married or boyfriends or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I just always assumed you're going to do something else besides just the normal run of things, you know, like when a girl will come home and say, gee, Mom, I got to tell you, but I'm pregnant accidentally, and I never gave that any thought with her. Mm-hmm. I just felt like the world's full of excitement, so, you know, enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And I never lectured to her about it or anything like that. I guess I just went ahead and assumed this is what you're going to do. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did she wear mainly dresses or?
Well, she was in pants when she was a little girl, and then once in a while I'd dress her up in something kind of frilly. Mm-hmm. She never went for dolls. She was given a doll by a friend once, because I don't remember buying her a doll. Mm-hmm. And the doll was very pretty and so forth. Yeah, she wasn't interested in that. Mm-hmm. And she'd mostly get into things like her brother was into. And that's another thing, too, I didn't tell her, well, you're a girl, you have to play with a doll. Because I thought, well, if you're not interested in the doll, all right, then you're not interested in it. Mm-hmm. And I guess I gave her mostly what I thought she'd be interested in, would be the educational toys. And like I said, we always made sure there was books, though, at Christmas time or birthdays or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But there was always something that she could do with her hands, mm-hmm. which she seemed to, I don't know, she used to take to quite readily.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were there any subjects that she did better in school than others, or interests that she had?
Yeah, I think she did quite well in math. And let's see, what else did she do quite well in? Things like history, the sociology, I don't remember doing too well and stuff like that. I guess it was mostly math. It would be subjects along that line. Something along sort of almost a scientific bent to it. Mm-hmm. I can't remember her taking chemistry and what she did in that. I don't remember that whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of things did your son get interested in?
The oldest one, well, he was on the honor roll all the time. He was in grade school. And then when he got into junior high, you just weren't in if you made straight A's. So then the grades went down. And then we hassled that for the rest of the time until, well, high school wasn't too bad. and he was about average, but he just never did push himself again like he did in grade school.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was quite a doer in those lower grades. I think, oh, and reading, he did very well in that. Math, he did pretty well in too for a while. But I think it was mostly like the reading subjects. He really enjoyed that. Oh, and then some of the art subjects, he did very well in that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, you had another son?
Yeah, we got another one. He was born in 1959, and that's Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether he will ever go to college, I have no idea. He is just very mechanically oriented, and he's just one of these that he tears the car apart, puts it all back together again, it works better than it did before.
Mm-hmm.
And he can look at something and figure out the way the thing goes, and I've often thought, it's too bad that he's not an engineer or something, but then I know the way he goes, I don't think he has to be an engineer. He just, I don't know, he can just make it work.
Mm-hmm.
He's very, I feel like he's very gifted that way.
So you had, did you have, is there any more after the three?
No, that's just the three. You're right, you've never got a sneaky one around here.
Now you lived in the Bay Area, and you didn't work outside the home.
No, not until I got down to Costa Mesa, and it was just a short few months when I worked as a noontime supervisor at the grade school, and kids seemed to enjoy having me over there, but then that kind of dissolved. They quit doing it, and they didn't, I guess they didn't need as many women or so. Anyway, we went away on that Hawaii trip, and when I came back, I just didn't go back to work again. Instead of that, I went back to school.
Where did Josh start working after he...
He started for a company called Daybright Lighting, and it was in Santa Clara, and it was close to where we lived in Mountain View. And when he started to get, well, that last year, he started to send out his resumes to see what he could get, you know, when he graduated. And we couldn't find anything in the area. Everything, he sent out resumes and everything, he would come back, no. And then finally we started to reach out and see other areas in the state or even out of the state. And he was signed up, he was hired by Norton Air Base down in San Bernardino, and we were going to sell a house when he graduated, and we were getting ready to move to San Bernardino. We were getting the paper and all this sort of thing, except that one day he came home and he said, there's a notice on the bulletin board that they want an industrial engineer down at this lighting company in Santa Clara. And I said, why don't you go see it? Because they want a year's of experience. And I said, that's ridiculous. How can they have a year experience when you're just graduating? And he says, go see it. No, he says, it won't do me any good. Confound it, go see it. So anyway, I talked him into it, and he came back, and he'd been hired. And he was hired at more money than what he would have started at the other job in San Bernardino.
Mm-hmm.
So we stayed in the Bay Area for a while longer.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, he was there for a while, and I can't remember why he left that company eventually. I guess maybe a year or two later, something like that. And he went to work at Lockheed. And then he was still working at Lockheed.
Was that in the Bay Area?
Yeah, that was right. Well, that was close also. It wasn't Santa Clara, but it was San Jose. You know, the towns are running close together, so it was just, you know, just a few miles difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we came down on a vacation in 61, and that's when he started work. He quit Lockheed, and he started work for Aeronautronics.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we got down here in Southern California.
Mm-hmm. Where is that located?
That's at Newport Beach. That's, I guess it's owned by the Ford Motor Company. And it's in Newport Beach. I think it's still down there. But anyway, the company's called Aeronautronics. And when we came down here, I had no idea he was going to go out there and see them bought a job. And so I was back in the motel because Mike, being less than 2 years old, he was taking a nap. And Josh said, well, I'm going to go out and see some fellows I know. And he comes back about 3 or 4 hours later and says he has a job. To which I promptly had a fit because why did he want to live in Southern California, because I thought it was a godforsaken dump. The areas I'd seen of it were not pretty in any way, shape, or form, and I had conniption fits. And he came down, he started work October the 1st, and I came down October 21st.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been here ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm not going to go anywhere else.
Did you live in, you said Costa Mesa?
Yeah, we found a house for rent, and let's see, Yeah, we stayed there. Let's see, rented the house for about a year and a half. Then we bought one. We were there for about 6 years. But we guess it was about a total time of 8 years in Costa Mesa. And during that time, let's see, shortly after Josh started Air Neutronics, they had, oh, as I understand, the company's sort of known for its layoffs. But anyway, all of a sudden, they started to have all these layoffs, and they would get rid of some of their engineers. And Josh got a little alarmed. But they told him, well, they would just transfer him around until, you know, for as long as possible. And he didn't stick around for that because he figured, I mean, he wasn't going to take a chance, so he went to work in Autonetics in Anaheim. And he was there, gee, quite a few years until one fellow he worked with quit. And I think about, oh, a short time after that, he called up and said, Josh, they need an industrial engineer at this printing company. Come on in and see about it. And that was about 16 years ago, I guess, 16 or 17. He's been with the company ever since.
Mm-hmm.
But he was commuting from Costa Mesa, and that's why, well, he commuted about 4 or 5 years, and that's why we moved up here.
And the company is in
Glendale? It's downtown Los Angeles, right at the intersection of Harbor Freeway and Pico.
Mm-hmm. And did you just look around and decide that Glendale was...
Yeah, how we did that was when he was commuting, it was so bad, well, we drew a circle around the plant, and we were trying to figure out, well, what would be the most convenient? We couldn't see anything in that circle right off, and so we looked at housing Pacific Palisades, found out that was outrageous, and about as far as in that direction it was from the other direction we were going. I looked at houses at Palos Verdes, and then we realized that's not too good for commute either, because there's only one or two roads getting out of the place, and that gets jammed up, and then you're stuck. So then we would go out on Sundays, you know, and look at the houses, and we, I don't know, forget how it was. Oh, I know what it was. It was an advertisement for Flint Ridge Highlands over there. We came up and looked at that house, and that was so small. We kept standing in the middle of it saying, well, if we sell this and we sell that, we'll be able to have room in it. We'll be able to have just the minimum amount of junk so we can move in. So then we drove away from there, and I said, I don't want to look at any more houses. I'm through with it. And we saw the sign for this place. He kept insisting, let's go look at it, and I didn't want to. Anyway, a few months later, we moved in.
Uh-huh. Now, so what year was
that? That was... let's see, the fall of 68, because then when we came up here, I liked the model home real well, and we asked him what was left, and he said, well, I've got a few houses left, but he says, no, he says, this lot at the end of the street had just become available because they had to wait. They hadn't even started to build on it because it had to go through special permission from the city because they had, well, arranged the fill, and the city had to okay that it would be okay, because otherwise the house next door was the last one. And they had just started to dig, you know, when they're going to pour a slab, and just had begun. In fact, I guess it had been sitting there for a few months, because there was no sense of it going ahead until they had, you know, an okay on it. So anyway, the fellow kept trying to push us on this lot, and he says, it's the last house, and it's going to be ideal, and all that sort of thing. And at the time, the street was a cul-de-sac. So we came down to take a look at it, and the fellow came down behind us, and he said, I want you to know that eventually that street will be cut through. But he says, he's got a great lot. The rest of them are all uphill, down, Dale. And he says, that's got a great flat lot and all that sort of thing. And we asked him if we could take a week to decide on it. We would come back the following week. And he says, okay, but what time can I expect you? He said, and we told him, we'll be here by 11. And it was a good thing we got here by 11, because two other people were waiting for the house. And, I don't know, it was just meant to be our house. This thing's just lucked out for us. It's been a very, very good house for us.
Mm-hmm. In terms of making decisions, how does that work?
Between the two of us?
Mm-hmm.
I think he and I have a better relationship than almost, I'd say, most husbands and wives. If there's a big decision, we usually thrash it out together. I think we just come to a decision between the two of us. I wouldn't say that he gives into me or I give into him. We will consider all points. Well, I think it's good from this standpoint, or you think it's good from that standpoint. And we just thrash out between the two of us. There's been only one thing that I could say that he's made a decision on, and even to this day, that I don't particularly agree with it, and that is he named our first one who had to. He insists the firstborn boy had to be named after him, and I still will argue with him to this day on that. And that's been my only thing that I could say I didn't have a say-so in it.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, we do an awful lot of talking together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do Did now you went back to school.
Mm-hmm.
What year was that?
I started Sunday night classes when I was down in Costa Mesa, and I was just doing that just because of, I don't know, something else to do. But when I came up here, I quit fiddling around with all the night school classes because I thought, well, I think the college is too far away, and, you know, I'm just doing it to be doing something. Mm-hmm. And we were here for about a year, and I decided I'm getting bored, and then also, I got to do something. And there was a friend of mine, another woman I had met, and we just got interested in the art thing, and so we started to thrash out, wouldn't it be neat to get into archaeology? And she's talking about anthropology, so between the two of us, we sort of came to this decision that art played a big role in those two subjects. So anyway, I told my family one night, I'm bored, I'm going to go back to school, which they all cheered, they were all behind me. And then I began to take it a little more serious when there was this woman I had met up in San Jose. She lived across the street from us up there, and she had three girls same age as mine, and when the oldest one graduated from high school, that just destroyed her. I'm a mother, and one of my children left. What is there for me to do? And I thought, I'm not going to be that way, because my mother fell apart when I left. And I thought, no, I'm not going to be that way. I'm going to have another interest. So I really started to take it a little more serious, and I just continued on. It took me a little while, but I finished it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you got a master's?
In art, yeah.
Did you have to go through first and get another BA?
What's nice about it in this state is that you have what they call this core program. You have those general education requirements.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait a minute. Core is wrong. That's not the right word. Anyway, you have a general education requirement. Once you get those, you never have to repeat them. You can go back when you're 75, and even though school have changed, you don't have to repeat that.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what you major in, you just take your major. So when I went back and had all those transcripts sent in, there wasn't any general education requirement things to catch up on, and I could just major in art to my heart's content.
Mm-hmm.
And, when I was going to Glendale College, it dawned on me one day, I've taken everything they have, I guess I better transfer over to a larger university. And I went out to Northridge, but I wound up at Cal State LA. And they seemed to be a little more encouraging as far as my age, the returning student. Northridge doesn't particularly encourage you. They don't care too much for returning students. And as far as a second bachelor's, I think even in the catalog they say they don't go for that.
Mm-hmm.
But Cal State, they even had advertising in the paper along this line.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went down, they were very encouraging. They gave me the list of subjects, and once I started, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think about getting my master's. It was getting near the end of the bachelor's, and I kept looking at what everybody else was doing, and I thought, well, if that person get a master's, then why can't I? Well, I'll never know until I tried. And I also went back with the idea, I would go until I either fell flat on my face or someone said, you're lousy, quit school for Pete's sakes. And I also set a goal for myself, nothing ever less than a B.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out until the very end of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were in school, did you think at all in terms of doing something career-wise with art?
Yeah, I did, because I thought if I'm going to major in art, and you see, like I said on that test from Stanford, it came out either as an artist or lab technician.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I also got going on this art thing, because when I was in the science things, and you had to do drawings of things you saw in the microscope, all my drawings would get very good grades. And I thought, well, how do I know I don't have any artistic talent? Even though that test suggested it, still you have to be able to draw. And thinking back, setting a goal for myself in school, and getting through with all of that, I thought, well, okay, I want to do something the rest of my life. What am I going to do? Because the more active you are, as you get older, the better off you are. You feel better. Your mental capacities stay very alert. This is something I want to do the rest of my life. And I just, in looking at it and analyzing it, and I even still do this, this is something I want to do until the day I die. I want to be able to sculpt. I want to be able to work in stained glass. I want to be a creative person for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, this is a thing I want to do. I feel if I could sell something once a month or once every other month, I would be successful. That's just what I have set for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a resale number, and this is something that I'm trying to start out on. It's difficult, it's slow,
mm-hmm.
But it gives me something to think about, and this is something I want to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just sitting here, maybe going to my women's club meetings or something like that, no, I want to work. I want to do this other thing. Because
mm-hmm.
I think that would be fun. I think, I don't know, I just want to be active.
Mm-hmm.
And I figure if it starts to, if it begins to look like I'm beginning to slow down, then I'm going to kick myself in my middle stumps and go do something else. Because I think there's a place, I just think there's something to do, and I think there's a place for everyone once you make up your mind and you get out there and you say, hey, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's an opportunity.
When you had first stopped working in the engineering job at Sylvania, had you thought at all of ever returning to work?
Yeah, I guess I gave it some thought that maybe someday I would go back. I didn't really think about it too much because my time was taken up pretty much by the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like I really should be there with the kids. And I don't regret one moment of ever staying home with them because I think, to me, it's very important that I was there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has paid off. My daughter has told me she's glad I didn't work. I think it's important for a woman to do something because I think she's got a brain also the same as a man. And I feel like she ought to do something. But I can't quite come to grips with women working full-time and having children. And they always say, well, you can love them just as much. I realize that. But there's something besides that. I just think it's very important that you're a little more available. I know I can get argued with, but I'm sorry, those are my feelings. I just feel like it's very necessary. If you're going to work full-time and you want a career, then forget the kids. It's either one way or the other, because I feel that there's a lot of problems nowadays that are caused by women working, and you've got everybody else raising your kids. You just poop them out, and you let society raise them for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's more important that a mother is there.
Mm-hmm. So when your children started getting older, say, or of high school age or whatever, were you still feeling that was an important time?
Oh, definitely. Very definitely. I think a mother should be there the first couple of years of a child's life. But like high school, I definitely think that she should be there. I know they're old enough to take care of themselves, but it seems to make a difference. If you're there when they come home, they may come home late after school, or they may just come right home, stick their head in the door, hello, how are you, throw the books down, and out they go, and you don't see them for 2 or 3 hours. Just the fact that you're there, because it seems to give them the impression, well, there's somebody home, there's a reason to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody cares. It's, people could deny it, but I think it's almost like an unfelt thing. I mean, in other words, something you don't even have to put it in words, you just sense it.
Mm-hmm.
A parent cares. You're there.
Mm-hmm.
You can work part-time during the day when they're not there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just to be there in that evening, I just think that makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you went back to school, was that only during hours when they were...
When I first started out. Now, there was a couple of times when I had to leave before they did in the morning. And That worked out okay. And then sometimes, okay, then when I got along a little bit further, there was a late afternoon class. I wouldn't be here when they came home. But now that's only like a couple of days a week. And then I would, sometimes I had to have a night class. And, but they all seemed to get so wound up in what I was doing, it's immediately I come in the door, well, what did you do today? Or how was school? And it seemed like it was kind of almost like a mutual interest thing that I was into.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, have you shown your work?
It hasn't been anything monumental just yet.
Mm-hmm.
I've been out of school, it'd be 2 years in August since I got my master's. And I've just done a couple of things, but now it's another thing that I have to come to grips with. I think also that has to be considered in art. There's something about creativity. Near the last, when you're working on that master's, it's quite a mental hassle that goes along with it. You go down at Cal State. When you work on your master's, you have this program. You get things half done. You have to go in and get an okay on it. And once it's okay, then you continue on and you finish it, and then it has to be okayed again. But the first time around, it's interesting to stand there and listen to people criticize your work. Well, I think it's this. Well, I think she should have done that. And you're just standing there listening to this, and you can't say anything. You have a counselor and an advisor, and this one happened to be kind of, well, he's egotistical in his own way, except that I thought he's very good, and he taught me an awful lot of discipline, which I appreciate. But he would step in, and he would defend my work. Mm-hmm. And then behind the scenes, he and I would get into a hassle on things. But he stood up for me. Mm-hmm. And also, yeah, there's, what is it, being a female into sculpture, you also get it from a male standpoint, too, mm-hmm. that women just don't sculpt. So there's still a deal.